Okay, we're in Parshas Vayera. We're in Parshas Vayera. The pinnacle of the climax of this week's Parsha is obviously the Akedah. We'll speak about that as well, likely at the end. But let's begin by beginning the Parsha. Perek Yudches Pasuk Aleph Vayera Alav Hashem Elonim Amre, and God appeared to him beneath the trees of Mamre. Mamre was the person who owned this property. And he was sitting before the door of his tent in the heat of the day. Who is the he referring to? The he is referring to Avraham. Right? But it does not say Vayera Hashem El Avraham Belanem Amre. It says Vayera Elav Hashem Belanem Amre. It's interesting to note. Why was God coming to Avraham at this juncture? So Rashi points out, it's already brought down in the Bereishis Rabbah, but Rashi points out that he was coming to visit him to Mimavakar Cholim. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming. So in the Sifsei Chachamim, they point out the following. God of it was doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Why didn't we write the word Vayera Hashem El Avraham? Why did it write Vayera El Avraham? They specifically did not want to mention Avraham's name. Why? Because had it mentions Avraham's name, then we would have thought that the obligation, perhaps we would have wrongfully assumed that the obligation to visit sick people is only for those people that are important, those people of high stature, those people that occupy positions of power and wealth, like Avraham, who was a wealthy and renowned and well-respected individual. By people like Avraham, we have to do Bikur Cholim. But a Joe Schmo that nobody's ever heard of, a little kid in the hospital who is never lying sick, he's just a little kid. I don't need to go visit him. All right, I don't have anything to do with that guy over there. He's anonymous. I don't know him from a hole in the wall. Maybe I don't have a mitzvah to visit him. Therefore, the pasuk phrases it in such a way, Vayera Elav Hashem, to him, the everyman him. There's no specific person that we're referring to. It's not because he was Avraham, it was simply because he was sick. This is the halacha brought down in Yoredeh. In Yoredeh, in Simon Shin something. The mitzvah Bikur Cholim mentions that you're not supposed to just visit the rich people and the... but everyone, it's the... and when we do, we are actually cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are acting in the image of God. Bikur Cholim is one of the specific examples that the Gemara gives of acting in God's image. And it is for everyone. It is not just a mitzvah directed towards the wealthy, the well-renowned, and the well-respected people who are sick. But all people who are sick deserve a visit. It is, Rav Zalman Meltzer, the following story was told by Rav Zalman Meltzer. He was one time anticipating coming to his house. A big rav was supposed to come to his house. I don't know who the big rav was. Maybe it was Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. They were both in Yerushalayim around that same time. And so, to prepare for the occasion, he made sure his house was clean. He had laundered. He had asked his wife to launder the tablecloth. Right? In those days, laundering wasn't just sticking in the machine. We're talking about early 1900s. They meant going out to the well with the board, scratching. You guys know what I'm talking about, with the rocks and the board. It was a real job. He made sure that the tablecloth was sparkling. He made sure that the house was clean. Again, although Rav Zalman Meltzer himself was a great Talmud Chacham, the Rosh Yeshiva of Slutsk, but still, he wanted to be mechaved the Gaon, and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was coming to his house. During the appointed time that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was meant to come to his house, there's a knock on the door. Rav Zalman Meltzer was there with three or four of his Talmidim, anticipating the arrival of the great guest. Rav Zalman Meltzer gets up, adjusts his tie. He wasn't wearing a tie, but adjusts his kafata, and adjusts his hat, cleans himself off. He opens the door, and to his amazement, it is not Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. It is a poor person at the door seeking tzedakah. So he immediately ushers the poor person in, sits him down at the head of the table, begins to talk to him. How is it going? How can I help you? Is there anything specific? And sure enough, after the 10-15 minutes that he spends with him, he writes him a warm letter of approbation, a recommendation to please try to help this individual as much as we can. He's in desperate need of funds. and he's off on his way. So the Talmidim say to Rav, what's going on? How come you accorded him such great honor and such great, you know? So he said, well, I was preparing and I was willing to give that honor to Rav Yosef Chaim Zandenfeld. I should be willing to give that honor to all people by Sher Hamshai. All people deserve that type of honor. And when he came to the door, of course, my obligation was to accord him with the same honor that I would honor also Rav Yosef Chaim Zandenfeld. So that is why in the first pasuk it does not say Vayera Hashem El Avraham, but rather Vayera Elav. Anonymously, to tell us that the Bikuch Olam had nothing to do per se with the fact that it was Avraham, but rather to do with the fact that it was a sick person who was in need, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu went. That is our obligation as well. That is true, by the way, of what Avraham did as well in the very next pasuk. Avraham saw Hineh Shlosha Anashim Nitzavim Alav, three people that were walking, wandering in the hot sun. And Chazal got out of the way to tell us that the appearance of these three angels was in fact not like angels, but like wandering Bedouins. They were Arabs. Avraham assumed they were over the Avodah Zarah. That's why he said, please, you know, wash off your feet, wash off the feet of the Avodah Zarah, wash off the dust of the Avodah Zarah. But despite the fact that he assumed that he was just nomad Bedouins, he ran to them, he accorded them the greatest of honor. Again, not just for the great people, but all individuals, all humans deserve that basic respect and dignity. Okay. Perek Yitches Pasuk Gimel, I'm sorry, Pasuk Dalet, it says, Yukachna me'atmai, when Avraham Avinu is talking to the angels, board number two, when Avraham Avinu is talking to the angels, he says, Yukachna me'atmai, please take some water, Rachatsu raglechem, wash your feet, and then, V'hishanu tachat ha'etz, and rest for a little bit beneath the tree, rest under the tree. The Medrash says, the Medrash says that bizchus, in honor and merit of the fact that Avraham Avinu said, rest under the tree, we are zochah to the mitzvah of sukkah, right, which is also sitting under the shade of a tree. The schach is, of course, made from vegetation, and we get to sit under the shade of the tree in sukkah. Because Avraham said, rest under the tree, we were zochah to sit under the tree as well, under sukkahs. So what's the connection? So Baruch Simon, those of you that yesterday met with your YU guidance counselor, received a free copy of Imre Baruch on Sefer Bereishis. You should definitely ask for it. You're entitled to it, and it's a wonderful, wonderful Sefer. So those of you that received a copy, so you will see that he has every week a few compilations of Divrei Torah. Excellent Divrei Torah. Excellent Divrei Torah. In fact, Rabbi Fran, who is a world-renowned Maggid Shir from Eretz Yisrael, weekly gives a Shir on Thursday nights in Baltimore. And at the end of the Shir, he throws in a Dvar Torah. So he tries never to repeat the same Dvar Torah. From year to year, he never repeats the same Dvar Torah. That's already many years going, so it's a hard task. So he was once in the Five Towns giving a shir, and a friend of mine used to learn with at the table in YU, those of you from the RS, Rabbi Storch, was driving Rabbi Fran after the shir that he gave, and they asked him, is it true that you never repeat any words? Like, it's an amazing thing. How many years has he been giving the shir now? Over 25, 30 years? But, you know, that's a difficult thing. He says, where do you find them all? Where do you get them? So he says, well, you know, there's a lot of good sparring out there, etc. In fact, a YU Rosh Hashiva just wrote an excellent sefer. Rabbi Baruch Simon just wrote an excellent sefer. Imre Baruch, he has great compilations over there. I'd like to look at his stuff as well. So that's if you don't take my word for it, take Rabbi Fran's word for it. Rabbi Simon's sefer is an excellent resource, an excellent sefer. In fact, postscript to that story, when Rabbi Storch went to Rabbi Simon to tell him, you know, I drove Rabbi Fran, and he says that he reads your book, your Sefer, and he likes it a lot. So Rabbi Simon said, I know. You know, how did he possibly know that? He said that he sent me a thank you letter in the mail. says, I really enjoy your sefer. Thank you very much, Yisachar friend. You know, what a wonderful thing to do. That's just Musar Haskel for us. Sometimes we get favors from people, you know, in there, and we never think to thank them for it. And there's a beautiful lesson over here. Even, you know, how many times do you read a book and you enjoy it, and you know, I should write that author a thank you. Anyway, back to the word. So you the mentor says that in the merit of Avram saying lean under and really rest under the tree, we have the mitzvah of resting under the tree, i.e. the mitzvah of sukkah. So what's the connection? So Rabbi Simon points out in the Sefer, in the Yalkut Shimoni, and this points out in the Sefer Imre Baruch, the Yalkut Shimoni says the following. The Yalkut Shimoni on Megillah Struth says, who is it that gets to dwell in God's presence? Who are the people that gets to dwell in God's presence? Gomlei Chasadim, the people that are Gomel Chesed. And that is the mitzvah of Sukkot. What is the mitzvah of Sukkot? We know that the Gemara says that in Sukkah, God's divine presence rests on the Sukkah. And therefore, when we immerse our bodies entirely in the Sukkah, we are in fact under God's provision and in God's presence. And the tzel, the Zohar calls it the tzila de memnusa, the shadow of God's, right? We're enveloped by God. So because Avram did chesed and we are part of that chesed, that's why we're zochah to the mitzvah of sukkah. Because the mitzvah of sukkah is being in God's presence, which is a special honor accorded only to those people who do chesed. Parenthetically, while we're on the topic of chesed, Rabbi Simon just explained, what is chesed? You sometimes hear the term, oh, he's a baal chesed. What does it mean, chesed? What's the difference between someone who's a baal chesed and someone who's a baal rachamim? Right? Oh, he has mercy on people, he does chesed. The difference is whether or not I am active or not. Someone who is merachem, someone who is merciful, so you come to my door, I will give you money. Right, I feel bad for you. Oh, that sounds horrible. Okay, here. Here's $100. I'm so sorry for your, you know. Here's $100. You're walking in the street and, you know, you suddenly see somebody trip and fall. You help them up. It came your way. That's someone who, you know, you take the time to stop and help the person who's hurt. And that's a midah. Don't get me wrong. Of course, that's great. A lot of people just walk by. They don't care. Couldn't care less. People are well trained to walk past homeless. People are well trained to walk past people in need, other people in need. It's a madrega to be a rachaman, to be someone who stops and helps. But there's a madrega even above that. Somebody who's a baal chesed, he chases chesed. He goes out of his way to find chesed. He doesn't just wait for the poor person to come to his door, but he thinks to himself creatively, how can I help the poor people in today's world? Oh, I know. I can open up a soup kitchen, I know what I could do. I could, you know, whatever, based on the person's financial capabilities or independent of his financial capabilities and his desire, it's not ultimately the money that's going to do the chesed, it's the person's willingness and desire. And the person has to seek it out. That's what it means to be a baal chesed. Just to do a nice thing does not a baal chesed make. To chase the nice things, that is what defines you as a baal chesed. Somebody who looks to create opportunities of chesed at every opportunity, that is the way to do it. There was a boy in Leiva Tor a few years ago who was inspired, you know, in the, I don't know if Ramachlis mentioned this in his class or not, but he was certainly inspired much by Ramachlis' Avos Chesed class, and he took it upon himself every time he traveled on the bus to Yerushalayim, or any time he traveled on the bus period, he would have with him two or even three water bottles with cups, and he would dispense water to passengers on the bus that might have been thirsty. And you know, he was looking to create chesed. You know, people are like, that's weird. You know, that's not weird, that's beautiful. What a way to create chesed, what an opportunity. Everyone is sitting there, everyone is trapped there. Might as well find an opportunity for chesed. Somebody must be thirsty. Even if it's important to drink and hydrate yourself, whether or not you feel thirsty, it was a big chesed that he was doing. Okay. Hi there. So the malachim come and they have different tasks, right? They're supposed to tell Avram and Sarah about the sun. They're supposed to destroy, they're supposed to tell Lo that the stone will be destroyed, etc. So The Malachim are on the way to stone. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to himself, Perek Yitchet Pasuk Yitzan, V'Hashem Amar, HaMechaseh Ani Me'Avram Asher Ani Oseh, should I keep undisclosed from Abraham that which I am doing? Should I not share with Avram that which I'm about to do with the stone? The Avraham ayohi yelagoy gadol ve'atzum v'nivruchu v'kol goyei haaretz. Avraham is to become a great and mighty nation. Right, through all the nations of the earth, right? Through it, that nation, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He's going to become a great nation. How can I not tell him what I'm doing to stone? So Rav Pinkus asks, I don't understand, what's the connection between should I tell Avraham? After all, Avraham will be a great nation. What does Avraham's being a great nation have to do with revealing to him now that stone will or will not be destroyed? How are they two connected? Rav Pinkus suggests the following idea, which relates to the world of tefillah. Rav Pinkus relates that there is a klal, there is a rule in tefillah, a rule without exception, he says. He says, all tefillahs are heard. All tefillahs are answered. It happens to be, he says, that sometimes the tefillahs are applied to other people, but they all take effect and they all help. What does that mean? It means, let's say you hear of a person that needs a refuah, and you daven. You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please send this person a refuah. It means so much to me. I love this person. And unfortunately, that person passes away. Does that mean that the tefillah was unanswered? It says with Pinkus, no. First of all, you don't know the amount of suffering that it might have produced from the individual. Number one. Number two, he says, even if the person passed away, it just means that the tefillah wasn't used for that person. But the tefillah is in storage, and it will be used for somebody else. So that le'yutzur, yetzer, you say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please send your food to that person. And that person is niftar. And then, a year or two down the line, person's family member, Chas v'Shalom, is in a car accident. You don't even find out about it until 4 hours after it happened. And that's those critical 4 hours, time for tefillos. Right? And during those 4 hours, you're not even aware. So what happens? A Kadosh Baruch Hu goes into his storage facility, takes out the tefillah that you offered up 4 years ago, and presto, he applies it now to the person who needs it. Right? There was a this happened. Yeah. Okay. I'll spare you a personal story, but I can attest to this being the case. So, I'd rather not. So, it's too personal. So the same thing going on over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that stone will be destroyed. But he also knows Avraham's nature is such that he will daven for stone not to be destroyed. And he knows that one day Avraham will be a great nation. And inevitably, that great nation is going to need tefillos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the phone. How can I possibly not tell Avraham? He will be a great nation. Great nations need tefillos. I will tell Avraham. Avraham will daven. I'll have those tefillos in the bank. And then when that great nation needs tefillos one day, when they themselves have put themselves in such a position where they may deserve, chas v'shalom, some sort of devastating punishment, that is when we'll pull out Avraham Avinu's tefillah from the bank, and it will serve to save his own children in the future, his own great nation. That is the idea that Rav Pinkus said on this place.
Which prayers? He said he's not going to tell him about Sodom.
No, he says, should I not tell him about Sodom? He's going to be a great nation. How could I not? And it shows that's when Avraham begins to daven. Right? This is in fact the Makkah where the Gemara in Brachos learns that Avraham Avinu daven. Okay. Next. Continuing one more on the on the theme of tefillah. The Malachim come. They tell Lot, we're going to destroy the city. And Lot eventually runs out of the city with his wife and two of his daughters. Right, his sons-in-law laughed at his face. They're like, "Are you kidding?" But he came tzachek b'nem. It was like a joke to them. Are you kidding? God's going to destroy this city? The Midrash has some very harsh words to say about his sons-in-laws. It's an interesting Midrash. Well worth reading. But for a different time. Lot's leaving the city. And they say, Aharei malet pen tisfeh. Run to the mountains, lest you be swept away. Just run to the mountains. What does Lot say? Vayomer Lot alehem al na Adonai. Lot says to them, you know, please, don't do it like that. Hinena matzav dechachen be'enecha. You know, if I find any favor in your eyes, do me a favor. Anochi lohu chali male tahara. I can't run all the way to the mountain. I'm afraid that the evil will reach me there as well. Hinena ha'ira zo krovala nus shama. The mountain is too far, and by the time I reach there, maybe the death will catch up to me. Let me go to that city over there, a city that's close by. Right? Let me go to the city of Mitzar. Okay. Mitzar or Tzohar, as it is referred to. Tzadi Vav Ayin Resh. Tzohar. Now it's interesting. Tzohar was one of the five cities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was planning to destroy. Right? Tzohar was one of the five cities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was planning to destroy. Avram Avinu davened for the cities to be spared, and this tefillah was not answered. Avram was a great tzaddik. Lot is now davening for the city to be spared, and he is answered. How can it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to Lot and not to Avram? How is it that he decides not to destroy the city of Tzohar upon Lot's request, but when Avram made the request, it was destroyed? So again, your Pinkus, in his Sefer Sharim B'Tfilah, he wrote a book about Tfilah, he suggests the following. He says that one has to understand that there's Tfilah, which we normally pray, tefillah. And then there's something called tefillah be'et tzara, tefillah in the time of trouble. When you're in the time of trouble, when you're feeling pressed, when you're feeling anxious, angst about a certain matter that's disturbing you, it prods you to daven with more fervor, it prods you to daven with greater urgency and a greater sense of dependency, and it translates into a better tefillah. Right, if you can imagine. Right? And even if it doesn't translate per se into a better tefillah, you might not want to say Lord Davin's better than Abraham, but when you are in the time of trouble, right, God feels closer to you than when you're not. Right? Everyone loves the underdog. So when you're in an Eis Tzara, you have a better chance of being granted that which you're desiring. I remember once when it was a time of Atziras Geshomim in Eretz Yisrael, there was a lack of rain, and we went to the Kotel when I was in the Gris Kolel. We went to the Kotel to try to, they declared a fast day, and we went to the Kotel for Mincha to daven at the Kotel. And I wasn't feeling well that day. And Rav Miller, who was the head of the Kolel, along with Rav Lichtenstein, knew that I wasn't feeling well that day. So on the bus ride over, he comes up to me and he said, Yaakov, he actually said Reb Yaakov, he always insists on people calling him Reb. He says, Reb Yaakov, I think you should daven for the Amud. So I said, Reb Miller, I don't feel well. He says, I know, that is specifically why I think you should daven for the Amud. It is more of an Eis Tzara for you. That wasn't the rain. I think you should represent us. And Kachave, he made me daven for the Amud, particularly because I wasn't feeling well and there was an Eis Tzara. And he felt like that tefillah was more significant than the regular tefillah.
You're saying that
eight
Sarah?
Three? Time? Eight. Eight. Eight Sarah. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, I skipped one important idea from Samson Paul Hirsch. When Avram Avinu was davening, I don't know what number one point is, number six, it's five.
That was
a new
thing?
Yeah. When Avram Avinu was davening, so he says, God, don't destroy this city. Ulayesh Khamishim Tzadikim, this is in Perek Yitches Pasuk Chafdalad. Ulayesh Khamishim Tzadikim Betochahir. Perhaps there are 50 righteous in the midst of the city. Right? So if there's 50, you're going to destroy the five cities. Perhaps there's 50 righteous inside of the city. So Rav Samson Paul Hirsch points out that that word betoch ha'ir was unnecessary. Right? He could have said ulai yesh chamishim tzadikim sham, maybe there's 50 tzadikim there. Why does he say inside the city? So Rav Samson Paul Hirsch wants to stress that specifically it has to be tzadikim that are inside the city. If there's just people, this is a word similar to what we mentioned by Noach, if there's just 50 righteous individuals living there, but they're not inside the city, one of two things. Either they're not really deemed and worthy to be called tzaddikim because they're not involved in trying to make the city a better place, or Avraham Avinu was raising the point that if there's 50 tzaddikim inside the city, then there's hope for the city, because inevitably the tzaddikim will impact the city and change will have faith in the tzaddikim that they will affect change. But it's a critical component that these tzaddikim have to be betoch ha'ir. If it was just chamishim tzaddikim, that wouldn't have been a worthy cause to save the city. But if they're betoch ha'ir, if they're involved inside the city, then we're talking about something worth saving and something that has hope. That is Musar Haskel for us as well. You know, sometimes we disengage, sometimes we don't get involved in things. We have to recognize that we have to live betoch ha'ir. We have a responsibility to be inside of the city trying to affect and help people. With the following part that we're going to tell, we're being mekayim b'mitzvah according to Rav Huttner. And therefore, I do repeat this word. I believe I repeat this word every year. I mean, I don't give this shir every year, but I try to say this word every year because Rav Huttner felt it was a mitzvah. So, here we go. And Avram Avinu goes to, with his wife Sarah, he goes to Gerar. Right? And in Gerar, there is a melech whose name is Abimelech. And Abimelech takes Sarah away from Avram, thinking, of course, that she was his sister. Avraham used to tell people, Sarah is my sister. Okay? So what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Abimelech and he says to him, if you want to end your life, I guess you could keep Sarah. But if you are interested in living, I would recommend that you give her back to Avraham and we'll just pretend like this never happened. So sure enough, Abimelech certainly doesn't want to give up his life. He calls Avraham Avinu in the morning. He says, I was totally, I innocently did this. I assumed she was your sister. I didn't touch her, Chas v'Shalom. I didn't do anything. She's yours. Take her. Avraham takes her back. And he says to Avraham, I don't understand. Mara'ita ki yasita tadavarazet. What did you see that you did this thing? Why did you mislead us? Why did you say she's my sister? Now, what was the problem? Just tell me she's your wife and that's it. And we would have never gotten into this mess. Why do you have to say she's my sister? What's Avraham answers? Vayomer Avraham ki amarti. Avraham said, Rak en yirat elokim b'makom hazeh. So there is no fear of God in this place. Right? Surely there is no fear of God in this place, as they translate over here in the English. But Rav Elchanan Wasserman used to say the following: "Rak." What does "rak" mean? Only no fear of God. Avraham Avinu was saying this place is great. It is cultured. It has sense of etiquette. Everything is perfect, but there's one thing missing. Rak en yirat elokim b'makom hazeh. There's just no fear of God. Rav Elchanan Wasserman said this in Germany pre-World War II. The only thing missing is fear of God. Culture, ethics, morality. The first society to have PETA. Right? It wasn't PETA at the time, but the first society to care for animal rights was Germany. Everything's, but if there's no fear of God, you know, those morals and ethics, it becomes ethical and moral to kill a Jew. The only thing that's missing is Yiras Hashem. But that can lead to a treacherous road, to murder, and, you know, taking away my wife from me. Here's the story that Rav Hudna thought was a story to tell. When Rav Hudna was a bacher learning in Slobodka, one time the bacherim went to Germany. He was in Germany for whatever reason, I don't know. And when he came back, all the bacherim in Slobodka asked him, how was it, you know? So he describes, he says, it was wonderful, it was really nice. He said, you know, and the people of Germany, they're so polite. He says, so humble. I would ask for directions. Somebody was, how do you get to the campus of the Berlin University? And the guy would answer me, you go straight, two blocks, make a left, and then should be on your left side over there. Nichtvor, isn't that right? Nichtvor, isn't that correct? So nice. Like, they don't want to make you feel stupid. They're like, isn't that correct? Like, yeah, I believe you go straight, make a left, and then on the left side, it should be over there. Isn't that correct? So nice. It made me feel so... So there was a debate that ensued in Slobodka. They're like, I don't know. Is that nice? Is it like nice? Should we learn morals from the Germans? Should we not learn morals from the Germans? Like, what's right? What's not correct? Should we just look into the... So each person was debating. Rav Hudna felt like, no, our only place to look into was the Torah. Anyway, obviously we know what happened in Europe, World War II, etc. Rav Hudna makes his way over to America and he teaches in Chaim Berlin. He's Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. One day as he's giving shir, and a man walks into the yeshiva. And he walks over to Rav Hudna and he says, it's me, Shmelk, Shmuel. Rav Hudna looks at him and says, Shmuel, this is from Slobodka. Shmuel, Slobodka, how are you? He says, I want to tell you that you are right. There is nothing to learn from the Germans. And what are you talking about? So he shows him his hand, right? Five fingers with stubs, missing top of his fingers. He says, I want to tell you the following story. When I was in a labor camp, I don't know which camp it was, when I was there, I was one time punished by a German officer for, you know, nothing really. And the punishment was they decided to cut off my finger stubs, right, the tips of my fingers, and leave me with just stubs. So they cut off the pinky. And then the German officer would say, it hurts. Nichtvor, isn't that correct? And then he cut off the next finger and says, it hurts. Isn't that correct? Doesn't it hurt you? And then third and fourth. Says, you were absolutely right. That is the notion of Rak en Yirat Elokim. Everything can be perfect and everything can seem moral and everything can seem ethical and cultured, but if it's lacking the Yiras Elokim, a sense of answering to a higher authority, it's going to crumble. It cannot possibly endure and last. Okay. We have... It's hard not to talk about the Akedah. I guess we'll try to push one more, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, too much to say. Okay. The Akedah, okay, a lot to say over here, a lot of good ideas. It's hard to choose one. Alright, we'll do one. It's interesting, the Akedah starts like this, Perikav Beis. Vahi Acharat Varim 11, Vahilim Nisas Avraham. After these events, everything that we've described in the Parsha to now, God tested Avraham. Right. What did God tell him? How does the Akedah start? Vayomer. Kachna es bincha es yachidcha asher ahavta es yitzchak v'lech lecha l'etz amoriyah v'lo shem l'ola alecha darim asher malecha. Take, I beg of you, right? Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Yitzchak, and get yourself. So that's an interesting lashon. I beg of you, kachna. Right? I beg of you, please take Avraham. Please take Yitzchak. I beg of you, Avraham, please take Yitzchak. So, the Rant, written in his drashos, he pointed out the following in his explanation of what the trial was. A lot of people ask, what was the trial? If God commands you to do something, you do it. If you speak to God in the regular, and God commands you to do something, you do it. So the Rant says that the trial over here was the following. God never commanded him to take Yitzchak. What did God do? He begged him, I ask of you to please take him. I'm not commanding you. I'm asking you. Right? I wish you to do this. But I'm not commanding you to do this. Right? Sometimes, right, your parents might not tell you, you know, son, take out the garbage. When they say, son, take out the garbage, that's a command. You must take out the garbage. So if you're in the middle of watching a, you know, whatever it is, Monday night football on television, and you're really engrossed in the game, and your parents say, son, take out the garbage, you have to take out the garbage. There's no. But let's say you're on your way to turning on the TV for Monday night football. You notice that the garbage was full and needed to be taken out. And they never told you to take it out. But you know that it is their wish that you take it out. Right? So, at that point, so what do? The easy thing to do is to just ignore it. They didn't tell me to do it. They didn't tell me I must do it. They didn't command me. I know it's their wish. No, even if you must, you know, yeah, I wish you would take out the garbage. She didn't tell me to do it. She just wishes. Right? Over here, that was the test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu precisely did not command him to do it. Just as this is my desire. I desire for you to do this. And Avraham had the choice. Should he or should he not do that which God desired? It wasn't a command. It was, I know what God wants, should I do it or not? And that was a difficult, difficult test. Right. We have to live up to doing God's ratzon. That was the test of the Akedah according to the Rant. There's obviously much to say about doing God's ratzon as opposed to God's commandment. Unfortunately, we're out of time. According to the Rant. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Lina, there we will know many times throughout the course of this year have opportunity to discuss this idea of Ratzon and Mitzvah. So we'll stop here and we'll see you next week in Parshas Chayei Sarah.